Well, good morning, good morning. Once again, it's Baptism Sunday here at the PLCC. It's going to be a beautiful day down at the ocean front. You can back up there a couple of slides, maybe to the one that says, we're way at the end there. We need to go way back to, there we go. That's a good one. How about that? Beach baptism after the service. We're looking forward to doing that, and we've got, it looks like, three young men who are going to be baptized today. And how about it? So we're going to talk about baptism. It's truly a privilege to see believers take this public stance and make this public declaration and confession. We're going to talk about it this morning because it's absolutely essential that we understand why we baptize and that we are sure to understand the scriptural basis for it. But first, let's just think about the greater context of baptism. Before we talk about specifically what it is, in our past studies, we've learned in worship in particular that everything begins with God. Everything begins with God. The only thing that we can do is respond to Him. God is the initiator. He's initiated all that we see and all that we have, Paul says to the Romans. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor? Think about this. This is a question. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who's become His counselor, or who has first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever. With respect to God and our position towards Him, God initiates everything. And our response to Him is our opportunity for worship. We can respond by embracing Him and embracing His Word and putting our trust in Him, or we can respond by rejecting Him and rejecting His Word and putting our trust in ourselves or in other people or in the government or in other things or in money. There are lots of things that people trust in. But God initiates and we respond, and that's our worship to Him. How we respond, it's our opportunity. And we can respond by loving Him and loving others and regarding Him and His Word to the extent that we actually are willing to lay down our own will and our own life and submit it to His will. We can respond with obedience, and that's our spiritual act of worship. And as we look in the Scriptures, we'll see that baptism is one of those responses that we can have to God who's already initiated. Like Michael said, God has already initiated with His Holy Spirit and in His creativity and brought us here together today. And so our call is to respond. And we have some people who are going to do that in particular. Respond and identify themselves with Christ through baptism. To reckon themselves as being dead to sin and alive to God with resurrection power. So what is baptism and why do we do it? First, let me say quickly, we're not here to argue about theology or to split hairs as men, as people, are wont to do when it comes to some of these things. There's only one church, and it isn't ours. Ours is just one part, one congregation of the one church of Jesus Christ that Christ Himself is building. So it's not, here's our church and the way we do it, and here's our denomination and the way we do it. Our call is to look at the Scripture and say, what does God say? What does God say about baptism? Not what does a pastor say? Don't think of it as what I'm saying. We're going to look at the Scripture and see what God has to say about baptism. And that's what we're here to do, to listen and pay attention to the Scripture, not necessarily what someone else had to say. And so we want to respond to God through His Word. And we have some people here today, maybe some people who are baptized were actually baptized as children. In another tradition that they had with their church or with their parents that they were brought up in. But at this point in life, not having rejected that, but rather having embraced and confirming for themselves this response that they have to the Lord, the one way, the one truth, the one life, they want to now make a public declaration of that faith that maybe a parent or a teacher or mentor had introduced them to. The same thing happened with my sons. Their zealous father baptized them when they were young, but then when they got older, they said, hey, you know what? Now it makes sense. Now it means something to me. I want to be baptized. And you know what I said? I said, that's awesome. That's awesome. It's confirmed to you. It doesn't matter what happened to you before, but now they're owning it much the same way you guys are and saying, I understand what this is, and I want to follow Christ, and I want to respond through baptism. And I love that they did that. And here at the community church, we encourage parents to dedicate their children in the biblical tradition. We did that a couple of weeks ago. One of the young families dedicated their son. But our call with respect to baptism and everything else is just to simply read what does God say and then respond about the Old Testament type of baptism. And the Old Testament type is a ceremonial washing that predates John the Baptist and Judaism, and it's known to take place in a mikveh. Have you heard this word? Anyone heard this word mikveh, this Hebrew word? It's found in Genesis 1 and other places throughout Scripture. It means the gathering of waters. But it also has the same Hebrew root word as the word hope, interestingly. You understand that when you're in a desert type of culture and life, that water represents hope. It represents life. In Exodus 7:19, the Lord says for Aaron to stretch his hands out over the waters of Egypt, their rivers, streams, pools, and reservoirs. That word reservoir is the Hebrew word mikveh. It simply means the gathering of the waters. So when God commanded the priests to be ceremonially clean, where would they wash? They would wash in the gathering of the waters. You've heard it said that cleanliness is next to godliness, right? I don't see that in the Bible anywhere as a saying, but I do see the principle that God really likes things to be clean. Interestingly, he had lots of commandments about how things should be cleaned and consecrated as holy to him and prepared. And I imagine you like a lot of things to be. God liked his food to be clean, the sacrifices that were prepared in a sanitary and healthy way. Kosher is the phrase, right? And so we also like our food to be prepared in a clean way, in a clean manner. But if you look at the Old Testament, there were a host of commands for people and priests to be ceremonially clean by the gathering of the waters. And interestingly, the root word for mikveh is this Hebrew word kavah, which is translated to wait or to look for or to hope. To hope. Jeremiah 17:13 says, O Lord, the mikveh, the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame because they've forsaken the fountain of living water. Can you see the wordplay there in the original language? You're the place where the waters gather. You're the place where I have hope in the desert. All who forsake you will be put to shame because they've forsaken the fountain of living water. This expression, right, that Jesus says to the woman at the well who's there to draw. She's there at the gathering of the waters, this time for drinking instead of washing. And he says, there's living water that I want you to know about that you can partake of, and you'll never be thirsty again. And that's the beauty of baptism versus just being ceremonially clean. You can be ceremonially clean, and you'll need to wash again. I took a shower this morning, right? I'm going to jump in the ocean this afternoon, and I'm going to take another shower. And every time, I was telling these kids a couple weeks ago, you go to the beach and there's sand in everything. There's sand in my hair. There's sand in my teeth. There's sand, and it's really filthy. You ever look online and see what's in sand? It's like you would never go to the beach again if you read all the microbes and viruses and all these things that are in sand. But we get dirty, and we have to get cleaned again. Meanwhile, there's this washing, this baptism. There's this being immersed in the fountain of living water and living hope that I don't have to be bathed again. I'm clean and it's done and it's finished once and for all. And Jesus is that living fountain. He's indeed the mikveh, the hope of Israel, the hope and the cleansing gathering of the waters. Now, this ceremonial washing in the Old Testament isn't what happens in the New Testament baptism. The Old Testament one's very similar to the one that John the Baptist was administrating, albeit his baptism had a different twist. It was a type and foreshadowing of the new baptism that we'll be having today. So in John 9, when Jesus told the man who was blind from birth, go to wash in the pool, the man would have absolutely understood culturally what Jesus was telling him to do. Like to us, we read it and it's like, go clean in the pool. It doesn't make sense. No, this made sense to them in the culture that they had, this culture that was immersed in mikvah. No pun intended. It's okay. You'll get it later. And he was telling him to go to the mikvah, the gathering of the waters, go to the place where hope springs, and to be cleansed. And I hope we're hearing this. So that's the Old Testament. That's merely a type and shadow of the new one. So let's talk about this second type of baptism, the New Testament baptism. 1 Peter 3:20, he tells us that Noah and the ark alludes to the new baptism. So he refers to the things that happened in the Old Testament as pointing to baptism. During the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water, corresponding to that, he says, baptism now saves you, not through the removal of dirt from the flesh, but it's an appeal to God, for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is an appeal to God through Jesus Christ. And 1 Corinthians 10 says that our fathers were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So these Old Testament references to these Old Testament events, rather, New Testament references to Old Testament events, they're all in the context of a culture that understands this ceremonial washing. And so what is it plainly in the New Testament? This second New Testament practice of baptism is seen as a confession of and an expression of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as we turn away from our own sin and our own way and we acknowledge Christ as our hope of the cleansing fountain who alone is able to cleanse us once and for all from our sins. That's what baptism is. It's an outward and symbolic expression of an inner faith. And again, this is where people, unfortunately, start to mince words and talk theologically and split hairs. And so people ask questions like, well, is baptism essential to salvation or is it a response to salvation? Is it symbolic of salvation or is it a means of grace through which God actually saves us? Is baptism a good work towards God after salvation or is it part of the salvation process itself? And the answer is yes, it is. Yes, it is. Both a symbol and a means. And in Western culture, we like it to be either or. We don't do well with mystery. We don't do well with the beauty and the mystery that somehow in this experience, it's symbolic, yes, but it's more than just a symbol. It's a spiritual experience. There's substance to it where God actually accomplishes something in the Spirit, and there's something that's being accomplished with our response to Him. So the answer is yes. We believe that God actually meets us there in the act of baptism, just as the Holy Spirit met Christ Himself, as we'll see in just a minute. Time and again, the Scripture gives us example after example of people hearing the gospel, believing, repenting, and being baptized. And here are a couple. At the beginning of the church itself, in the book of Acts, Peter, empowered by the Holy Spirit, took his stand, raised his voice, and declared the truth of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to the crowd in Jerusalem. And Luke says that the crowd was pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest, what shall we do? What should we do about this? You're really stirring us up with these words. Tell us what to do. And in Acts 2:38, Peter says, repent, turn from the way you were going, and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And that word baptizo means to immerse or to submerge. That's what it says, so that's what we do, guys. You're going to be immersed in the ocean today as you make this commitment. And 3 verses later, it says that those who had received his word were baptized, were immersed, and that day were added about 3,000 souls. So today, unless some other people join us, we're not going to add 3,000 souls, but maybe we're going to add 4 souls, and if the Lord leads for anyone else or anyone who publicly witnesses what's going on and is pierced to the heart like these men in the book of Acts, we would say, hey, it's as simple as this. Repent, believe, and be baptized. It's as simple as that. We make it so complicated. In the scripture, it's very simple. It's very simple. Acts 8 says, when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized. Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, continued on with Philip. From a scriptural standpoint, it's simple. Believe the word that's preached and be baptized. So here's what that pathway looks like. We need to understand a couple of things. First, we have to come to know and understand who God is, that he's the creator, he's the great author, the initiator, and what's he like? He's holy, and he's righteous, and he's other. He transcends my way. His ways aren't our ways. He's different and apart from that. We have to understand that he's righteous, and he has his way that's the right way. And then all of us, the scripture says, we've gone our own way. Each of us has turned and gone our own way instead of going God's way. But we need to understand, Psalm 99:9 says, for the Lord our God is holy. In order to be baptized, we need to understand that God is holy. And we need to understand that we, having gone our own way apart from him, apart from God, we're fallen and dying, Paul says to the Romans. We aren't righteous and holy in ourselves. Each of us has gone our own way. And the implications of my way is that I don't live forever. The implications of me going my way is that I die. It's appointed unto man once to die. God's design is life. That's his way. His way is life. My way and our way as people who go our own way is death, and that's what it leads to. But we have to understand that Christ has made a way for us to experience life in spite of ourselves. Romans 5:8 says, Christ proved his love for us in that while we were yet sinners going our own way, Christ died for us, and somebody ought to thank him for that today. Now watch this. Romans 6 says, we were buried with him through baptism into death in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. And we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that if he dwells in us and we're baptized, that he says, you're going to be raised in the same way and empowered. There may be things that tripped you up before, but we're believing God to meet us in baptism and to fill you up so that now you say, I don't just walk in my own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, I can be raised up and I can overcome any of the stuff that tripped me up before. That's what we're doing today. That's what we're believing God to do in everyone who believes and is baptized. So baptism is a symbol and a reality that as we go down in the water, just as Jesus went down into the grave, that we, like Christ, are dying to ourselves, but will be raised up to new life as Christ was. And it's a simultaneous declaration to our community and the world around us. And why do we do this? There are a host of reasons, but very quickly, there are three. Here are three reasons that we baptize. The first is because we see in Matthew 3 that Jesus set the example himself and was baptized, not because he needed to repent or be cleansed, but he said in order to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill the scripture that had been spoken before. And he set the path for us and demonstrated what it looked like. He instituted the symbol by which future believers would submit themselves as a sign of identifying with Christ. It's like saying, I'm with him. I'm with him. And so we stand up in a public place, in a public square, and say, I'm with him. I don't identify by all the things by which and with which the earth and the people and the culture around us identifies. I identify myself as being with him. And so we follow the example he set. And here's another reason we baptize, because Jesus commanded us to. Matthew 28, Jesus commanded us to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so we baptize out of obedience to his great commission. And finally, one more why for baptism is this scriptural nexus between baptism and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3 tells us that after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove lighting on him. And so Jesus' baptism, which was the Father's commissioning and empowering on the Son who had been set apart for service, and as we baptize, we are also empowered by the Holy Spirit and set apart for Jesus, for God's service. Acts 2:38 says that Peter, when he tells the men of Judea to repent and be baptized, he goes on to say, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we're believing God that these candidates will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as they too are baptized. And Peter's surely convinced that the Holy Spirit will empower those who believe and are baptized. And then finally, Paul tells the Corinthians that by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. One body, 1 Corinthians 12:13, in a beautiful and eternal mystery of Christ and the church, we're being joined as one body with Jaden and Matthew and Kingston and Joaquin for God's glory. And in this way, baptism is fundamental to community, fundamental to our identifying and becoming part of God's family, part of the community of believers.